Our God is good and our God is faithful. Good and our God is faithful. Amen, brothers and sisters. No matter what the world around us looks like, no matter what is happening, if things look like they're good or if things look like they're not so good, we can still declare, because we've seen, we've tasted, that our Lord Jesus Christ is merciful, faithful, and good. Amen? Amen. The first song that we sang today was Battle Belongs, and I think it was fitting because there's a battle that's raging right now. You've all heard, you've all seen, you all know what's happening in Israel right now, and after Pastor David called me and asked me to speak tonight, I was thinking about, you know, what to preach about, what to say, and I was scrolling through Instagram one day, and I saw Jessica Vettish actually post or repost something from Jensen Franklin about how to pray for Israel. So thank you, Jessica. You're contributing to the message tonight. And I thought that was very fitting. Instead of preaching another sermon that maybe, you know, we've heard or we can do a different time, I think tonight, let's set aside some time and pray for the situation in Israel. And in that list of how to pray for Israel, there were 9 different points that we could pray about. And I want to go over them, and I want to give them some biblical backing. And since there's 9 points, if I gave 2 minutes to each point, we'd be here for 20 minutes. So I'm going to try to be a little bit quicker than that. So let's get right into them. And this is what the list contained. The first point was to pray for peace over Israel and for the preservation of life, both the Jews and the Arabs. Amen? 2 Peter verse 3, chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish," not wanting the Jews, our Israeli brothers and sisters, to perish, not wanting the Arabs in the Gaza Strip to perish, not even wanting the terrorists that perpetrated some of the most heinous crimes that we've seen in recent memory. He does not want even the Hamas terrorists to perish, he says, but he wants all of them, all of us, to come to repentance. And that's the thing, brothers and sisters, right? The Lord is patient, and all of us, me first and foremost, we've all benefited from the patience of God, right? What if the Lord would have decided to pour out his wrath or to end our days here on earth when we were in rebellion against them, or before we had given our lives to him, when we were living in sin, when we were far from him, instead of showing us patience and continuously calling us to come to repentance until we gave our lives to him, and now we can stand here and say the Lord is good and the Lord is faithful. Well, God doesn't want anybody to perish. So we need to pray for the preservation of life, both Jews and Arabs. The second thing is pray for Israel's defense force as they respond to this surprise attack. Isaiah chapter 13, verses 3 to 4 say, "I have commanded my consecrated ones. Yes, I have called my warriors who celebrate my triumph to execute my wrath. Listen, a commotion on the mountains, like that of a mighty people. Listen, an uproar among the kingdoms, like nations being gathered. The Lord of armies is mobilizing an army from war." The same God that is patient with us, the same God that is so patient with us and waits for us to come to repentance and to give our lives to him and doesn't pour out wrath when so many times we deserve it. He is the same God that says at one point or another, "This is it. This is the time. The time has come for my wrath to be poured out. This is the Lord of armies." And it says here in Isaiah that there comes a time when he mobilizes for war. And why? Why does the Lord mobilize for war? It's when his people are attacked. It's when the people of God are placed in danger, because Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8 says, this is one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. He says, "For the Lord of armies says this, in pursuit of his glory, he sent me against the nations plundering you. For whoever touches you, touches the pupil of his eye," touches the apple of his eye. And you know that the eye is one of the most sensitive parts of our bodies, right? Which one of us would be able to not recoil, to not react if somebody were to extend their finger and try to touch the pupil of our eye? None of us, right? It's automatic, it's instinctual. And that's what the Lord says, that when somebody touches and harms and plunders his people, it's impossible for him not to act because he loves his people. The third thing is pray for the protection of friends and families who have been called into the reserves and are now preparing for a possible ground operation in Gaza. Jeremiah 31 verse 15, it says, this is what the Lord says. A voice was heard in Ramah, a lament with bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. And this is what we have to realize. There are 1,300 confirmed deaths. The last time I listened to a statistic was 1,300 Israelis have died, and there will be more. As soon as the ground invasion begins and soldiers are sent into Gaza to eliminate Hamas, more will die. But they're not statistics. They're not numbers. They can't be boiled down to just a bunch of numbers that we hear about on TV. These are families. These are brothers and sisters often. And in fact, Pastor Eugen Mitria's son, Eitan, if you guys don't know, Pastor Eugen Mitria started here in our church many, many years ago. And he left our church to become a pastor in Israel. And now his son is in the Israeli Defense Force. And he has already been called back into the army, and he's being sent into Gaza. So we need to pray for him, for Eitan, and for all the people that will be going, because they are somebody's sons, they are somebody's daughters, they are somebody's fathers, they are somebody's husbands, and we need to pray for their protection. Amen? Number four, pray for those who have been taken hostage, that they would be kept safe and rescued speedily. I was reading an interesting passage in Jeremiah chapter 41, verses 11 through 14. It says, when Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the armies with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done, they took all their men and went to fight with Ishmael, son of Nethaniah. They found him in the great pool of Gibeon. When all the people held by Ishmael, all the captives that Ishmael had taken, saw Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the commanders of his army, they rejoiced. All the people whom Ishmael had taken captive from Mizpah turned around and rejoiced when they saw the son of Kareah. We see that Ishmael is still taking captives today. There were Israelis, there were Americans, there were people from multiple nations who were not only killed, but they were captured and taken as hostages into Gaza. They are still currently in the tunnels, in the buildings. Who knows what is happening to them? And I was very moved by an interview that I saw on TV one or two days ago. An Israeli father was talking about his daughter because she was one of the people who was taken captive. And he said that as he was trying to find out what had happened to her, where she was being held, he saw a video and he saw her on TV and he saw that she was dead, that she had been killed. And when he saw that she was dead, he said, yes. He said, yes. He said, he rejoiced that his daughter had died because that was better than what he feared would happen, was going to happen to her as she was being held captive by Hamas. And that marked me, that a father would rejoice to see the situation is so bad that a father would rather have his daughter to be confirmed dead than what could otherwise await her. But this is what it says in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 24 through 25. Can prey be taken from a mighty man? Can prey be taken from Hamas? Or the captives of a tyrant be delivered? For this is what the Lord says. Even the captives of a mighty man will be taken, and the prey of a tyrant will be delivered. I will contend with the one who contends with you, and I will save your children. This is what the Lord says. Number five, pray that the barrage of rockets would stop and that the Lord would supernaturally protect Israel from the missile attacks of Hamas. Psalm 91, verses 4 through 5, this is a verse that we all know and quote often. He will cover you with his feathers. His faithfulness will protect you like a shield. You will not fear the terror of the night or the arrow that flies by day. And we see that still today, arrows are flying against Israel. Rockets and bombs from the Gaza Strip are flying towards the cities and the homes of Israelis, and we need to protect. I know that they have their shield. They have, I forget what that shield is called, but that rocket system. Let's pray that the Lord is the shield of Israel today, and that he supernaturally protects them from the rockets and the bombs and terrorists and everything that Hamas will try to launch into Israel. I'm going to skip to number seven. It says, pray that the hatred and incitement would cease and that the power of God's love would minister to the hearts and minds of all across Israel and Gaza. And in Psalm 57, verse 3, it says, he reaches down from heaven and he saves me, challenging the one who tramples me. God sends his faithful love and his truth. It says that God reaches down from heaven. And when God truly reached down from heaven, it was through his son, Jesus Christ, who left heaven to come here on earth. And it says that he sends his faithful love. And that passage that we all know and love, this is how God showed and proved that he loves us. God so loved the world. This is the way in which God showed that he loves us, that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So God is reaching down from heaven even now through Jesus Christ, and we pray that the love of Jesus would overwhelm and overcome every person that is involved in this battle. And one more, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, about brotherly love, you don't need me to write you, because you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Paul says to the Thessalonians, I don't need to tell you that you're supposed to love. If you're truly following the one true God, then you will love one another. If you're following a God, or if you're following somebody who claims he is a God, and that God teaches you to hate and to kill, that is no God. The living God, the true God of the Bible, teaches us to love. Number eight, and then we'll come to a close. It says, pray that the body of believers would find opportunities to provide hope for those who are suffering. 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verse 3 says, we recall in the presence of our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and he says, you know, I still remember when I think back about my time with you, when I was in need, when I was in danger, when I was in pain, and you provided for me. You were there to comfort me. I still remember that. And that is one of the greatest strengths of the church, that in a world that is filled with so much hatred and so much pain and so much darkness, that we could be the hands and feet of God. And we could show this world love that they do not receive and cannot receive from anywhere else. We can be the hands and feet of the Lord. So we need to pray that even in the midst of this ground offensive and this battle, that the people of God, and especially the churches in Israel and around the world, can find opportunities to show the love of God, again, both to the Israelis and to the Arabs. And again, a passage that we know from James chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, if a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, hey, go in peace, stay warm, be well fed, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. So let's pray that our faith and the faith of the churches that have an opportunity to reach out to these people that are suffering can show the love of Christ through practical action. And then the last thing before we go into this prayer, pray that God would shine his light in the midst of a dark situation. And yes, This is a very dark situation. This is a very dark time because not only are people in Israel and Gaza being killed, but it's throwing all of the Middle East and with the Middle East in the world around us into increasing turmoil. Not only is there a war in Ukraine, now there could be a war in Israel that could expand to the Middle East and even beyond. And we see that this darkness is increasingly covering the world. There's increasing chaos, increasing turmoil, increasing darkness everywhere that we look. But that's what we see in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 say, the people who live in darkness have seen a great light, and that light is Jesus Christ. And for those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. So let's pray that in this darkness, in this chaos, not only for the Israelis and for the Arabs, but for you and for me over here, that we would still be able to shine the light of Jesus Christ everywhere we go, that when we see people increasingly overcome by fear, by anxiety, by hatred, we see the protests in our major cities, pro-Israel, pro-Hamas, fighting, people yelling at each other, people increasingly hating one another. Let's pray that in this increasing darkness, we would pray that the light of Jesus Christ would shine ever more brightly, and that even through this darkness, people would begin to come to the Lord because they see that in him, he is the light of the world and his light overcomes the darkness, amen? So let's stand and let's take a moment. Take one of these prayers or two or three or all nine or maybe add your own and let's spend some time right now and pray for the people of Israel, for the people in Gaza, and for the situation around the world. So let's go into prayer.